just as we transition here, or it's not even a transition, it's a continuation. Everything that we do, I think, here on a Sunday morning is what God's leading us to do, right? So as we move from one form of worship to another, as we release our worship, as we've always, my heart is what happens on a Sunday morning as we come and we fellowship with one another, we release our worship, the Word of God is released among us, and then we are released into the world that so desperately needs Jesus. I am not a literary strong person, or an English ain't no, you know, type of thing. That seems to winda. It seems to be in my, you know, those types of phrases. I hear myself say, ain't nothing. But, you know, ain't nothing means there is something, because I don't have nothing. That means you have something. So, but I catch myself saying those things, and then I think, well, that doesn't make sense. And so I am not a literary genius, but I'm not even a literary newborn. I'm just kind of getting along in life and this in the English language and writing and speaking, and those types of things are sometimes a very much of a challenge for me. My tongue doesn't say like S's and R's together. I don't know what's wrong with me, but so I really steer around those words when I'm writing a message. Don't say thesaurus. You know, I can't say that when I get all revved up. I can't say thesaurus. You know, I end up saying like dinosaur or something. Yeah, I can't say certain words when I get amped up. I can't say certain words. And I've learned that. But I do like to read, and I do like to engage in some writing and some thought processing, and I know there's a variety of different ways. And this is just me. When I see a story, I think the stories fall into many categories. But here's my top list of the way a story is produced. There are stories that are just make-believe stories, right? Just made-up stories. You know, just I don't want to ruin anybody or put a wet blanket on you, but Jack and the Beanstalk is not real. I mean, it just isn't. There isn't giant beans, and you don't throw them out, and they don't grow real big, and there's not a giant world if you can climb high enough. It's just a make-believe story. And then there are stories that are make-believe but reveal truth, right? And that's the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe, right? There is, just so you know, that's a make-believe story but releases truth, right? And I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but there's no door in the back of your closet. It just is, okay? But it's a make-believe story, but it's designed to deliver truth. Powerful way to engage in a story, to let a story invite you in. That's what a story is supposed to do, is to invite you in, to kind of just become one of the characters, right? To become and start to feel what they feel. And I've learned over the years that really I can get much more motivated and feel when I read than when I do watch a movie. Because watching a movie is just somebody else's feelings put on film. And their feelings might be different. So I get engaged in these make-believe but reveal truth, or just a make-believe story. You can really get into those stories. And then there are stories that are based on truth, but they've added make-believe. And I'm sure there's proper terms for these types of stories. These are just the way I understand them. So this, you know, this would be Little House on the Prairie. Anybody read those books as you were growing up as kids? You know, they were based on the life of Laurel Ingalls, right? They're based on her life, but everything that happened in those books, or everything that happened on the TV show, didn't happen. But it's based on a truth, and then it adds some make believe to it. And then there is a story where they're based on truth, they are true, and they reveal truth. Now, some of these stories, what I don't want to do is when I read a story, a triple T story is what I call that, T to the cube, right? T to the third power. It's the truth, reveal true. Truth, reveal, it is true, and reveals truth. It's true all the way through. There is no make-believe in it at all. It's all true, but it's told that we would receive truth as well. Because and we get the same mindset to get invited into that story and understand the characters and even see ourselves as one of those characters or maybe several of those characters. Am I making sense today? So I value every one of these. I like to escape into a make-believe story. That I don't have to remember all the stuff, so to speak. But I get a big kick out of this make-believe that reveals truth because I'm looking for hinds feet on high places I just got done reading. Powerful. Make-believe that reveals truth. And then there's the true story that adds make-believe. But this triple T story here. But what I don't want to do is think that just because I say it's a story, that it's automatically make-believe. It's not. It's truth. Holding truth and giving truth. It's triple T. So I want to tell you a story today that's triple T story. And I want us to kind of maybe, and I'm just going to kind of read the story along, and then I want to make just some points. They're going to be in yellow on the board, on the screen. They're going to be in yellow, just some highlighted points out of the story as we go, and that's going to be the preaching today, and then we're going to see what God does at the end. All right, that's just, I preached a couple weeks ago on what happens if it gets weird, what happens if it gets abnormal, I don't know. That's why maybe God preached that message a couple weeks ago, because I really don't know what God wants to do at the end of this message. So I finished this message with dot, dot, dot. So we're going to see, but let me invite you into the story, the triple T story, and see with just some highlights from me, some footnotes that I just want to draw attention to from this story. And I understand that there are many things, and each one of these things, it's so full of truth that I can't get them all. We'd be here for 2 or 3 or 4 days just in this story. So just work with me here on just these statements. So here we go into this story. Coming to us from John 11, says this. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. As a matter of fact, unless you have a small child you're trying to keep hold of, close your eyes for a minute. Just listen to this. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. You can open your eyes now. There's the opening of this story. It would be impossible for me to stop there. That is such an opening line to an amazing triple T story. Setting the scene of what's going on and introducing the characters, even back introducing, I don't know what you call that, but back introducing the one sister of where we have seen her before. She was in another story. And it's dragging those two stories together. So we know that Lazarus is sick, and we know he's from Bethany. We also know that Bethany means the house of unripened figs, which I find very interesting. That now we're in from this undone fruit. Lazarus is from this town called Undone Fruit. It makes me wonder what's undone. It makes me wonder that death, or something's going to go on here in this sickness. Something's going to go on because Lazarus is in undone fruit. Non-ripened, unripened fruit. He's from Bethany. And I know, listen, we can go to Bethany, okay? We can go there. We can get a plane. It would take a while. We won't be there until like Tuesday. But we could do that. But I start to see this truth that wants to be released from this story. And I got to wonder that if the meaning of the town where Lazarus and Mary and Martha are, when it means undone, unripened figs or unripened fruit, what is God trying to tell me with that? This touch from Jesus is going to take place, I believe, in a place called unfinished business. Just so you know right now this morning, just so you know, you are in an environment of unfinished business. God is not done with you yet. You live in unfinished business. And He wants to do something in our lives every single moment. But I wonder if there isn't moments when I walk and I hunt and I walk one step at a time and all of a sudden I'll come to a creek or a creek if you're proper. And I come to a creek and I jump over the creek. And so I know that step by step by step by step that God is doing a work in my life. But all of a sudden, whoa, I got to jump every once in a while to get across this thing that God wants to do in my life. We are in a place this morning. I believe with all my heart, I am in a place, and you are in a particular place. I think some of you this morning are standing in front of the creek, and God's going to ask you to take a big leap because you're in a place of unfinished business. Verse 4 carries on the story like this. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." I have read John 11 so many times in my life. And as I was reading it this week, it kept inviting me in and in and in. And Lazarus is sick, and Jesus has made the statement that this will not end in death. It is for the glory of God, and God's glory through His Son will be revealed. The end result is greater than you perceive. That's what I think that God's saying. You've determined the end already. Will you stop determining the end? You're not God. And you don't get to say, and I don't get to say, this is just the way it is. Because it's not the way it is. Jesus said, this is not going to end in death. The final outcome of this whole thing is not going to be death. It's going to be to bring glory to God. That is a powerful statement. The end result is greater than you perceive. Continuing in 5 and 8, it says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. When he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Now, just to be honest, that's a fair question. His disciples, you're going where? Don't you realize just a few days ago that they tried to kill you there? Are you sure you want to go back there? And I believe that God was saying and is saying, Jesus is not afraid of your situation. Just so you know, as God is in, you are in the line of, or in the room of unfinished business. And as you need to stop agreeing with the end you think is already in your life. Because the perceived end is not the end. And we need to realize that Jesus is not afraid of your situation. It does not worry him. He's not losing sleep over it. He's not running frantic. He's not worried about anger that you may have or someone else may have. He's not worried about anything. He is not afraid of your situation. He's not afraid of your pain. He's not afraid of your chaos. He's not afraid of anger and bitterness and rejection and threats and the world's opinion or your mess. He's not afraid of it. And I think, verses 9 and 10 of the story, the triple T story, tells us why. Jesus answered, there are 12 hours of daylight. A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. You know what he's saying there? Don't worry, I'm walking in the light. Doesn't mean he's walking during the day hours. That means he's walking in the light. That means he's walking where God wants him to walk, where the Father has said walk. You know what? I'm really not afraid of anything. When the Father says go, I'm going to go. Because I don't have to be afraid. And I think sometimes we need to realize that we don't need to be afraid. Jesus is not afraid, and if we're afraid, then it's not from Jesus. The enemy is trying to do something in our life to jam us up, to keep us away from the one who is not afraid of your situation or my situation. Picking it up in verse 11. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll get better on his own. What I like about the disciples, I seem like I would be right in there with them. God, if he's sleeping, you know, it's a little risky anyway. If he's just asleep, can you just let him get over his cold? He's good. Why risk it? Jesus had been speaking. His disciples replied, Lord, if he is sleeping, then he'll get better. Then Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Peter, John, he's dead. Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him now. You know what the music just did, if you're playing in your head? It just really just zeroed right in. Let us go to him now. The situation may be more severe than anyone else knows. Just so you know that. You've been playing long enough. You've been playing I'm all right long enough. It's okay to know that your situation is bad. Because the enemy or something, this world, your own flesh has got you all jammed up. It may be, the situation may be more severe than anyone else knows. And you've walked in here week after week after week, and somebody says, how are you doing? And you've bald-faced lied to them and said, I'm good. And you ain't good. There's my literary genius coming out. You ain't good. and you've lived with it, and you've lived with it, and you lived with it, and you lived with it, and the situation may be more severe than anyone else knows. Also, I want you to know this. The situation may include, so they may believe, portion. That makes sense? Your situation may be so that someone else may believe. So they may believe. Portion of your story. And then in verse 16, it goes on to say, then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let's go! If we're going to die, we're going to be with Jesus at least. Thomas, he's the one who doubted here in another story, and then all of a sudden he's saying, woo! Sign me up! If you die in this service, which I don't have any prophetic word that I or anyone else is in this room is going to die in this prophetic or in this environment of undone business, but if you do, and you die with Jesus, you're good. And Thomas says, saddle up, boys. I can see Simon the Zealot saying, ooh, baby, I'm ready. Let those people try to kill me just once. And then Jesus says, on his arrival, the story picks up in verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Dum, dum, dum. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary, Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, yeah, I know. I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, wait a minute, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, she said. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and called her sister Mary aside and says, the teacher is here. And she said, he is asking for you. Then when Mary heard this, she got up and quickly went off to him. But let me just point out something. Just five things that Mary said, Martha said. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you'd have been here, I wouldn't be in this situation. God, you must have left me. You see the confusion that's going on in Martha here, back and forth? But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. I know that God can do it. I know that God can do it. But if you'd have been here and you weren't here, but I know that you can do it, but I don't know what's going on. I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. I get that. I'm going to be good someday, because someday in Christ, I will just flat out die. And then I'll be good. And so I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. I got that. And then she says this to Jesus. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ and the Son of God and who was to come into the world. I don't think she's dissing Jesus at all. But I think she's thoroughly confused at what's going on. And you know what? And if you've never been confused about a situation going on in your life, then I would think that odd. Is that, whoa, this makes perfect sense to me. Woo-hoo! Get out the way, Jesus. And Martha is just real here. She says, but Lord, and later on she says, but Lord, by this time, there is a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. I know you could, if you were to hear, it wouldn't happen. Why didn't you prevent this in my life? Why am I in the middle of this? I know you could do something. I don't know if you will. I know the Sunday school answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But I know that he's been here 4 days, and I know I've lived with this a long time, and I know this is here, and I'm all jacked up, and I'll just shut up there, she says. Have you ever felt like Martha? Knowing the right answers, but feeling the wrong feelings, perhaps? And thoroughly knowing and then looking, and those two things don't seem to go together? See, I think Martha didn't even dare believe that the situation could be different. Not in this world. Do I dare to believe that this situation can be changed today? Are you with me this morning? Don't let me lose you, because we're gearing in at the end of the story here. Do you believe that this situation that you have been in can change today? My, woo, yes! And then my spirit says, yeah, you dummy, did you hear what you just said? I'm wrestling with that. And how much belief does it take? Well, we're going to find out Lazarus had no belief, because the dude was dead. Well, you don't have enough faith to heal you. Check out Lazarus' faith. He got none. But do I even dare believe? Just say that in your, don't say it out loud, but just say it in your own heart. Do I even dare believe that this situation can change today? Picking up the story in 30. Now Jesus had not entered the village, but he was still the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she had gone to the tomb to mourn there. Just another yellow understanding of perhaps the truth there. There are many people around you that care, but they don't know what to do. Are you with me on that one? There are people around you that care, that just don't know what to do. And they're running around trying to meet with you, and they're running around trying to see where they can help, and they're trying to meet you at the tomb, and they're trying to meet you here, and they just don't know what to do. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. At least we know they're sisters. If you would have been here, I wouldn't be here. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, Jesus was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept, and the Jews said, oh, how he loved him. The only correction I would make in the crowd's words is, oh, how he loved him. To oh, how he loves him. It's not past tense. It's never past tense in your life. God never loved you over with. He loves you. Jesus loves us and feels our heart's condition. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? I got one lie that I think I believe in this truth. Jesus did not, so he will not. Jesus did not do anything, and so I have convinced myself he will not do anything. He did not keep me from this, and so therefore he will not get me out of this. And it's a lie. couldn't this guy who opens the eyes not do this? He didn't, so apparently he can't. I need to get rid of that lie. Just because he doesn't mean he can't. Picking up the story. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "Woo, but Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been in there for 4 days. This is not going to be good, Jesus, just so you know." Don't you love it when we say, "God, Jesus, this situation's pretty stinky." And he said, "Yeah, I know. You don't know what's happened in my life." "Yeah, I do." And you think if it's stinky from your point of view, you should see it from my point of view. You got a stinking situation. And you need to lose the thought that because I didn't, that I won't. There is no situation beyond Jesus. Are you with me this morning? There is no situation beyond Jesus. He doesn't care if you stinked it up for 4 days. Stinked it? Stunk it? What am I supposed to say there? Made a bad odor? Stunked it. Stunk. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" My yellow thought on that is, hang on, God is about to do something. That's what Jesus is saying. It's teed up. So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me." When he had said this, I find it interesting that I have nothing, I don't know what Jesus said to the Father other than that. Because at this moment, he took authority over the situation. And he's going to free somebody. Then Jesus said this. Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" Can you imagine being there? Exclamation point. Woo! You know, we're supposed to read that with that in there. The dead man came out. His hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and the cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, whoever the them are, "I want to be a them. Sign me up, God. I just want to be a them. You made the Bible by being a them." He said to them, "Take off the grave cloth and let him go." Therefore, many Jews who had come to visit Mary, here, this situation just was not for Lazarus and Mary and Martha, but it was for the whole body. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him, but some of them went to the Pharisees and said, "Na, na, da, boo, boo." There's always going to be naysayers. Just let it go. They'd have been all over Facebook on that one. "Well, I don't... 45 pages later, Facebook would have just done whatever. But here we are this morning. Who are you in this story the Triple T story. Who are you this morning? Can I ask you if you're a Mary and a Martha? Can I ask you that if you're just jammed up? Are you jammed up with pain or anger? Are you jammed up with something that's been allowed to come into your life and it's just really just made you all jammed up? You're locked up with something. You can't even really do life the way you want to do life because something physically or something spiritually or relationally or mentally or emotionally has really just got you putting up against the wall. Are you a Mary and Martha here this morning? Do I think every one of us is a Mary and Martha? They weren't in the story. There's some thems in the story. But I gotta wonder if there's any Mary and Marthas here this morning. And I wonder if there's some Lazaruses here this morning. You're caught in hopelessness. Don't take this personal, but you stink. And it may be worse than anyone else knows around you. And you're going to say, but so what? I'm ready to do something about that. How about one of the people? Just one of the people, one of the thems. Are you one of the thems? What is happening here? What is really happening here? He gave us zip ties at the beginning. What kind of nut is this? What's really happening here? And maybe you're one of the disciples saying, I think I'm going to die here. I'm feeling a little weird. I promised you there would be weird services. I just promised you that a few weeks ago. There's no fine print in this situation. But you don't know. And you're kind of a disciple. I'll just go. If we die, we die. Or maybe you're as part of the, I call them the stone cloth crew. And you're just one of those people saying, Jesus, you tell me to go, and I'm going to go. So get your zip tie out this morning, would you? And I wonder if you're one of the people, one of the thems, maybe this zip tie is not going to do anything but just be in your hands. But I'm really looking this morning, I'm really looking this morning for the Marys and the Marthas and the Lazaruses. Here in this room, you are in the room of unfinished business, and God wants to do something. And I believe that there are people in this room who are the stone cloth crew. So I believe that there are those people that God will say, go do this right now. And they will do it. Just push the button. This is just the truth out of the story. Where are you this morning? Are you locked up? Can you hear that? Can you hear that? Can you hear that? Can you hear that clicking? Is that you this morning? Click, click, click. And it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Click, click. Put it around your hands. Do I believe that everyone here is a Lazarus? I do not. Do I believe that every situation is a Lazarus or a Mary or Martha? I do not. But where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Does God want you to be set free? Cinch it up on your wrist. Do I think that everyone in this room is going to do this? I don't. They'll only do it if God's saying to do it. Because I believe that God wants to set people free today. Just because he has not done anything until this moment doesn't mean he's not going to do something this moment. Where are you at this morning? Are you ready to say, I'm Lazarus. I'm a Mary. I'm a Martha. And I'm jammed up. I just need to be set free. Who wants to be? This is the dot, dot, dot part of the service, in case you're wondering. Who's saying, you know what? I'm ready to come out. I'm ready to come out of this darkness. And I'm just gonna, and maybe not all at once, but I'm just gonna stand. And I'm gonna speak a word into your life. And then someone is gonna be sent to you, and they're gonna cut your chains. They're gonna cut your zip tie. Who says, I'm either a Mary or a Martha or I'm a Lazarus? I need some thems. Lily, can I ask you just to sit for a minute? Thank you, honey. Listen. Look at me. Look at me, Beth. You are in a house of unfinished business. And God's going to finish some business right here, right now. And he's going to break the chain that holds you. Come out, Beth. Come out. Somebody loose her. Just because he hasn't, he's going to. That's the word I got for you when I come back here. You think he's not going to because he hasn't. That's a lie. He's going to free you today. Chapter 12 of John, Lazarus is hanging out with Jesus. He's going to free you so you can hang out with Jesus. I need somebody to come. I need a them to come and free Lisa from this bondage that she's in. Here's a them. He broke every chain. He's doing a new work in you. He's going to give you a new song. This has jammed up your singing. I'm not talking verbally. I'm talking about your heart. He's going to put a new song. Of them's going to come, and they're going to cut that, and you're going to get a new song today. Be watching for it. He's got a new song for you. I need a them to come, free will. In the name of Jesus, be freed. The waiting is over. Daughter of the Most High God, a princess in the kingdom. The wait is over for you. You're going to watch God do the amazing in your life, and it's going to start by breaking this chain. In the name of Jesus, I call on them to break this chain. You're hungry for something that he's going to feed you today. I feel that. That's the word I got for you. You're hungry. You've tried to push the hunger aside. No longer. The hunger is going to be fed. And this is going to be loosed so that you can eat what God wants you to eat. And he's going to fill you up. Let the hunger come because he's got a word for you. He's got a feeding for you. like you have never fed on before. I needed them to free Tim. In the name of Jesus, you're going to be freed. The waiting is over. The God story you shared with me today is not about a car, it's about you. The noise is gone. Whatever's been blocking you long for His voice. Whatever has blocked that, it's going to be broken here today. You're going to hear from God like you've never heard from Him. You're going to need a bigger cup. In the name of Jesus, I needed them to set her free. Hearing, I'm waiting for what the Lord wants me to say to you. Confusion is the word that comes to me. No more. We're going to break that chain. You're going to see a clarity like you've never seen it before. There's going to be a clarity, and you're going to be secure much more than you are even this moment. And who you are and who Jesus is. And it's going to make a difference in your life. He's doing it in this day in your life. I need a day to break this chain. I need this chain cut. You're chasing only what Jesus can give you. And no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind can conceive. What's keeping this, what's bound you, is your ability to love God the way you want to love God. You've listened to the world. He loves you and you have the ability to love Him. And you can't imagine what He's going to do in your life. I needed them to break her chains. I get a couple words for you. I know, I see your faithfulness. Not me, God. He sees your faithfulness. You're bound because you don't think He sees your faithfulness. It hurts, doesn't it?
It's tight.
It's tight. He sees your faithfulness. And when this gets broken, you're going to see that He sees your faithfulness. And it's going to make all the difference in the world. I need a they to break her chains. The word I get for you is no more fear. No more fear. Fear is leaving. Fear has got you bound. And He's going to set you free from fear. And He's going to enliven you. You think you're coming toward an end. You're coming toward a beginning. That fear is trying to keep you from. No more. I need a day to free Jim from this chain. Get this word for you. He has bottled every tear that you have shed for 40 plus years. And right now I see it in the heavenlies being poured out before the Father as an act of worship from you. Every tear over every situation, over your inability, over what you think is perceived failures, over the loss of your mother, all that is gone. He sees you. You are a daughter of the King. You don't think you're enough, and it's got you bound. You're more than enough. Sheila Stahlbar, you're more than enough. I need a day to break her chain. I get a word for you. What you want is what He wants for you. What He wants is what He wants you want to want. You're a sharp young man. Your abilities are getting in the way of what He wants to do in your life. Let Him give you abilities that you don't know you have. You have a lot of abilities, but He wants to give you ones you don't have. And this chain is bound you so that the abilities He wants to give you are all jacked up. So I'm asking Him to free you, to give you those abilities that He wants you to have in the name of Jesus. I need a day to free this man. In the name of Jesus, marks be gone.
Amen.
I get a word for you, Jeff. I have a plan for you. Your life has been transitioned. Hang on. No confusion, no doubt. No pre-organized situation. You're going to follow Him, and you're going to walk where He wants you to walk, even more intently than you've ever walked before. This chain for you in your life, I think, is this. Is a new work. He's going to do something new. You've done a lot, Jeff. He's going to do a new thing. He's going to do a new thing. Don't doubt Him. Even more than you don't doubt Him right now. He's taking you to new heights. So we break the chains of doubt. Somebody free Him. Those of you that had this cut, and I spoke this to Lisa in John 12, Jesus is having dinner with Lazarus. Have dinner with Jesus. He's freed you. He had not, but now He has. Is there anyone else that's going to go out here and say, man, I wish I would have had somebody cut me free? Jeff? You have a word for show?
Whatever it is that speaks this trash in her head that she needs, that needs to go, I pray that you would do that. You would set her free. And the healing that you need to bring, Lord, I ask you to do it. I ask that you would do it. And that you would get all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And you would flow on her like the holy fire that would top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Just wash her clean. Lord, be glorified.
Today's the day. Years. Today's the day. Somebody free her. There's a new work. There's a new way. You're so gifted in what you know. He needs to teach you something new. He's teaching you a new work. Stop relying on what you already know. And I know you're willing to do that. That's why you're standing. I know your heart.
Amen.
And I know that he's going to show you a new thing. He's going to teach you a new word. And the enemy is the one who's got you bound. Insecurities,
Do it.
Unfulfilled dreams,
Do it.
Feelings like you didn't measure up.
Yeah.
They're all jamming you up right now.
All over.
In the name of Jesus, somebody set this man free. The word I get for you this morning is this. You're waiting. The waiting is over. You've always are waiting for something. It's today. Stop believing that it's never going to happen in your life. Because you've waited so much that you think you're just in the hall. That you're just commanded to wait and wait and wait. No more. The waiting is over.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give you eyes to see.
Mm-hmm.
The wait is over.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody free this man. As I walk back here today, I got a word for you. You're borrowed time. You're always thinking, maybe you are on borrowed time. You were supposed to be gone 20 years ago. You're not on borrowed time. You're on his time. You haven't borrowed it from anybody. You've been given it by Jesus. He's given you every moment of every day. He wants you, and he's going to free you to get more of what you want in every moment. There is no borrowed time in you, James Lewis. All determined time by the King. And he's going to show you that this week. Free this man. Somebody free this man.
This is the word I got for you as I walk back here. You think you've let God down. You haven't. You have not let him down.
Amen.
You need to lose the lie, because the lie's got you jammed up. You have not let him down. You are a daughter of the King. He loves you. And he's got a plan for you. Lose the lie that you have let him down. In the name of Jesus, somebody free this woman.
It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today. The mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to. Because they can't stay long when I believe in you. Are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
Standing in line to see the show tonight, and there's a light on. Waiting for